Hallelujah. You may have your seats in the presence of our King. Glory be to God. You know, I kind of understand what Jacob felt when his Bible says that, and the angel wrestled with him. Amen. I had a wrestle before I came here. I was set, had my gun loaded. Not my real gun. My Bible, amen. Let's get it. Y'all finna say, now what this preacher finna do up in here? Talking about he got his gun loaded. No. I had my Bible, my message ready. Quit laughing. I had my message ready. And while I was sitting there, the Holy Ghost shifted the whole thing. No, that's good. That's good now. You know, you ain't confirmed. It ain't locked until you get up here. And it ain't even locked when you get up here. Because he can shift it right when you start talking and take you another whole way. And you just on for the ride. And so I was blessed with that because what he put back on my heart. You know, God loves us. You know, and come on, somebody, give him a hand of praise. You know, one of the things that when you hear a preacher, male, man or woman of God, that say that God is doing something, it's because of the love of God and the pulse of God. Amen. And everybody ain't in on the pulse of God. You can be a man or woman of God, but that don't mean you know the pulse, because that's fellowship. Amen. You got to commune with him and you got to be sensitive to where you can hear the switch. Amen. That's real. I mean, some people don't think God can switch on you, talk to you, but he talks to you. And while I was sitting there, he switched on me. But what he said he wanted to do was remind us of his love. How many know that God really loves them? That's a good thing. But how many of us need to know God loves us? Open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 48. Glory be to God. You know, I had the title of my message, See, Take, and Keep. Amen. But I want to put a subtitle on it, When God Crosses His Hands. Oh, glory, glory, glory. You know, sometimes when we living and we going, and we never know that we need God to touch us, to bless us, to breathe on us. Amen. Anything God do to you is significant. But you don't know that you need that until he does it to you. I feel like this is getting intimate with me. The scriptures. Listen to what he says. Genesis chapter 48. When you're there, say amen. Amen. And amen. I'm going to read verse 1 through 4 and then we'll pray and begin. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz, in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make thee a multitude of people, and I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Father, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we bless you and we thank you for your covenant. Thank you for the words of encouragement that you speak unto us, and then thank you for allowing us to be in your presence. Thank you for the hearers, but also the doers. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Now, I'm not going to come out of this text, but I'm going to develop the context, amen, because you got to go back in here and get what God got for you. Now, watch this. There's a blessing in our life that only a father can give. Boy, do you hear me when I say something to you? There are some things in your life that it can't be released except the Father say it. Because everybody else has a right to say it, but they don't have the authority to say it. But a father can release something up on you because destiny is embedded into the promise of a father. No slight to the woman, because she is a part of the plan of God. She nurtures and carries the vision of God. She births it. Well, we can work right here. She births it, but the father is the one that initiates it. Amen? Because you know with children, the dynamics of the child is the strength of the father's gene. That's why some of you boys, you men can't lie. That kid looking just like you, man. You talking about, I don't know them. Man, come on, cut that out, sir. That's your child. Amen? But watch this. God spoke something over Jacob that transcend down to his children. Children. Oh, have you ever heard? This is where they came up with the piece that we fight generational curses. Because some of us is living out of a generational curse. You know, you living like your daddy lived. And the possibility of your granddaddy if it never got broken. Amen? That's why they say don't hate your mom or your dad too much, because you'll mess around and be just like them. Because you're not dealing with a conduct, but you're dealing with a generation. Because it's in the genes. Some stuff is inherited in you. And you have to cut it off. Amen? It comes this far and we'll go no further. Some things my children will never experience. Because I stopped it. Come on, y'all. Let me plant this seed. I'm trying to walk this here. Some stuff they will never have to go through because you broke it off. Some of us fighting our mama and daddy's demons. You didn't even know nothing about this or that. But because it was lended down, passed down to you, you have to contend with it. And if you don't learn how to deal with it, that's why they say, watch what door you open. Because when you open that door, even though you feel you can handle it, but you didn't know, you released something up on your children. And they fighting what you wouldn't fight. But watch this text. Verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. So you got three generations right here in this room. Come on now. You got Jacob, you got Joseph, and you got Manasseh and Ephraim. And they're in this room trying to contend with a sickness, but also trying to get a blessing. Have you ever been blessed and cursed at the same time? Felt so bad, but you know, hurt so bad, but feel so good. Let me go back to this text. Because it's right here. We got a blessing that's been stored up for us, but we got to get over a sickness. Now, I said, God say he love us now, because I won't. Deke, you're looking at me real good. You're going to make me preach now. You're going to make me preach. I felt the pull. See, it's a Holy Ghost pull, because all you need is an amen in the spirit. Because when you catch something in the spirit, can't nothing, no devil or demon in hell turn you around. But once you release something in the spirit, can't nothing turn you back. Oh, come on, y'all. God said, I want to release something. We ain't going into the new year carrying some old stuff. See, God heard your cry. God heard your cry, woman of God. He heard your cry. You're not going into the new year carrying some old stuff. See, I got a blessing, but you got to get over this sickness. Because, yeah, some of us dealing with a sickness. And I can work with this sickness. Because, see, every sickness ain't sick because you physically hurt. Because you can be sick spiritually, physically, emotionally, and even socially. Now, some of them sicknesses is not detectable by the doctors. What's that thing they walk around with, put on your chest? You put that all on my feet. You can't hear this. Because I'm sick in my emotions. Leroy, help me preach this. I'm sick in my affections. Oh, come on now. Don't you tell me I ain't right. Some folks sick in their affection. That's why the Bible says set your affection on things above. Watch this. Because you can be living off your emotion and not your affection. Because see, some of us emotionally caught up. But my affections have not been set. See, if I set my affections, that means I'm not even paying attention to what you're talking about. It's not going to move me because I've already pre-concluded. This is my position on that matter. My affections is, I'm going to obey, please God, do. I'm not even moved by my emotions. What you said to me, how many times you won't do it, regardless if you do it or not. Paul said, none of these things move me because he was set. See, the enemy trying to move us, but watch this, because of the sickness. And God knows what you know. Don't make me preach it all over again. You know. Yeah. God knows what you know. And you know you know. But don't mess with that right now because you're going to take me off my, and I have to work with that. You know. Because I had to go back in there. All right, let's stay focused. Watch this. See, a powerful move of God is a generational move. Can you receive an inheritance from the Lord? Not from your daddy, from your mom. Can you receive one from the Lord? Because watch this. There were some promises that was made to your parents that have not been fulfilled. And this is an inheritance from the Lord. Because God made a promise. He made a covenant with them. Some of us is wrestling with our own prophecy. Oh God, can I preach this right? What do you mean, Pastor? Some of us is wrestling with what God already said about us. You wonder how you made it through all what you did to get all the way up until this point, to get back on in the will of God, because it was already prophesied about you. Boy, if you could ever catch up with what was chasing you. See, hallelujah, I felt that. I'm walking to fulfill what was spoken over me, even though it wasn't even my desire. But it was the will of God for my life. That's why can't nobody mess it up. You couldn't even mess it up. As much as you tried, you could not make it of no effect. It came around and got you, caught you. It pulled you back into. Because it was a promise that was made. Now watch the mothers of old. Let me help you. I'm believing God right now and he's going to do what I'm believing him for. Because I need a mother. Now hear me now. Don't think I'm not a bastard and I'm not cussing. I got a daddy. I had a mother. You know what I'm saying? She's sitting home in glory right now, starting with me right now, as I just said that. Amen. But I need a spiritual. Because I'm in the kingdom. I'm walking in kingdom mindset. I'm doing kingdom business. And in order for the kingdom to have its order, I have to set it in order. And God already gave it to me. That's why I can speak it out of my mouth. I wouldn't even say nothing to you, Lone. But he already told me. I just ain't told you who it is. So don't come running up on me talking about I'm your mother and all that. You're not my mother. That's not that I wouldn't receive you as my mother, because I thank God for everything you would do for me. But I got to choose the mother that the Lord gave me. Because it's the mother that the Lord has already prepared. That love the Lord. That as a result, she can love what the Lord loves, which is his son. Because every child ain't always lovable. No, no, not that. Yeah, yeah, I had him, but look here. I can put him out of here. I can get rid of him in the next 2 days. Yeah, 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 the way we act sometimes. But God already gave me this. But because of that, he's putting stuff in order. But let's get back to this three-generational blessing. Because, see, our next increase, next level, next breakthrough to get a breakout before I break down is in this generation. Yeah, 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 yeah. I don't care what nobody said about you, how much opposition came against you. It had to fight destiny. That's how you was able to make it through. Even when you wanted to quit, you gave in and gave up. But destiny said, that's mine. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it ain't over till God says over. Some of us carrying somebody else's destiny on our back. Meaning I got to fulfill the will of God in my life so you can make it. So you better watch who you hating on. You better watch who you treating bad. Because they carry your destiny. I'm just exalting tonight. Is this all right? But I'm speaking in the spirit. Because see, we're coming to the end of the year and we got to consummate everything that the Lord has said. And I got to know why he said it, why he's doing it. Because see, I'm walking in a fulfillment. See, that's why you can't choose where you go in God. You can't choose who you. You got to go where God tell you to go. You got to do what God tell you to do, because it's in that that your destiny get fulfilled. You may have a good word, but you don't have my destiny word. That's by divine assignment. Because God ain't going to talk to you if you ain't my father. Oh, that's how I get good to me. If you ain't my father in the spirit, God ain't going to tell you my destiny. I don't care how good you preach, how good you prophesy. It's reserved for the parents only. Are you here? Go back to this text. We're in verse 4, right? But now let's keep reading. Verse 4, it says, verse 3, and Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and what? Bless me. At Luz in the land of Canaan, and what? Bless me. All three of those is indicative of the promised land. It's indicative of a place of prosperity, a place of increase, a place of renewal, overcoming. God spoke to me. God met me in Luz. Not lose, and lose, L-U-Z, not L-L-L-O-O-Z-S-E. I'm not a loser. I'm not losing. But I was in a situation that it looked like. But God spoke to me in lose. Did God speak to anybody in your situation? Come on, somebody. I'm trying to get you to see where destiny is prevailing. See, the church mindset is we're not going to go through. But you're going to have to go through the passages of pain to get to a promise. You're going to have to take a land of destruction to bring it back to victory. You can't get somebody into victory unless you go into defeat. So don't be discouraged because you had to go through to get to. Because God met him in lose. and went to Canaan. Canaan is the what? Promised land. Canaan is like the Jordan. They went from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho. From Jericho, they went to Jordan. Gilgal is the place of covenant. They had to start out where they was in agreement with God. See, some of us had to get back in agreement with God. Then God had to go from a place of covenant to go to Bethel. We had to get back to the house of God. A bread and wine. Come on, somebody. You had to get back to where I'm in worship with God. I got to get back to what I'm calling him God alone. Then I had to leave from Gilgal, coming to go to Bethel, the house of God. Then I got to get to Jericho, to a place of battle. Give me my stuff back. See, you ain't ready to get a promise until you done had a battle. See, too many folks want to skip the battle and walk into the promise. That ain't the kingdom's way. Because God ain't not going to have nobody to stand over you and tell you or declare to you that they're your God. No sickness, no situation, no defeat is subject to the authority of the word of God. So you have to go through the process from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho. This is the place of confrontation. See, a whole lot of folks don't want no confrontation. They don't want to confront nothing. They don't want to deal with nothing to get my blessing back, to get my money back, to get my marriage, get my kids back. I got to have a confrontation with the devil. I got to have a confrontation with bad to get good. So I go from Gilgal, I go to Bethel, I go from Bethel, I go to Jericho. Now I leave in battle and I'm going to the Jordan. The Jordan is the place of promise. I'm crossing over to the other side. Because this was already predestined. Yeah. I'm walking in destinies now. Yeah. You better hear when I talk to you about destiny's child. See, I'm walking in destiny now. See, watch this. What God got for me, even though you don't see it, it's already there for me. I got to walk towards the... Oh, come on, y'all. See, I got to walk in the will of God. I got to walk the way of God. But I got a promise from God. See, and God... Hear me, child of God. The stuff you're going through now, God is letting the devil know he can't have the last word in your life. But I got to get rid of this sickness. Because see, some of us got sick on the journey. Some of us got a headache. Yeah, something wrong with my head. I'm not thinking right. I'm not talking. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Some of us got a stomach ache. Come on, somebody. Everything I get, it just upsets me. But I got to deal with this sick. Some of us got a backache. Come on now. I can't even stand up. I can't carry nothing. But see, God says, I come to deal with your sickness so I can get you into your promise. Because he said them three generations was talking to that man. And the man was laying in the bed. And he said that one of them said, come on somebody, that God talked to them. See, you better know what I'm here to tell you. That God's talking to you. And the enemy tried to talk you out of what God's trying to talk you into. Watch this. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 33 that when the man of God asked, he said, God, I want to see your face. He said, no man can see my face except he die. But I'll let you see my backside. You ever want to know where God at in your life? Look behind you. Don't look in front of you. God been too good for you to doubt that he going to be who he said he is. See, the devil tried to tell you that I'm going to tell you how to bless you. You can't bless me. I'm already blessed. My inheritance, my victory don't lie in your promise to me. I'm already under a covenant. I'm living in an oath right now. That what God promised, I don't care what I got to go through. If I don't, I told the Lord, if I don't preach the gospel, all I ask you to do is give me 5 days on the job. Even if I'm 60 or 70 and I get the pastor and preach, it's all right with me because I was in the will of God being under my bishop. But I say, God, just for my sake, if you let me get it, don't kill me the day I get the opportunity. Let me at least work 5 days. Give me some grace in the new location. But because I was satisfied with the will, God said, son, you don't have to go that long. But I went a long time. And in all them times, there was many times I wanted to quit. I wanted to walk. I even had a guy come up and slip me a note. I was preaching at a conference, and he slipped me a note. And the note said, I bless you with $65,000 with my wife a year if you would pastor at my church. Now, look here now. And this was back in my younger days a little bit. I wasn't making it like that. But I was in the will. And the other thing, God didn't tell me to go. That money couldn't tell me to go. My bishop didn't tell me to go. See, because there was no anointing on me if I would have went. And I'd have been subject and bound to his instead of. See, there's a grace when you stay in the will. See, you can't obey somebody else. I can't help nobody else. I really can't. I can only help those that God want to help. Because my ability is limited and my help comes from the Lord. So I'm not going to give up my help. I told you Saturday at prayer. I'm not going to sacrifice my goodness to help you when you don't want to even help yourself. Remember I told you Sunday, and you told God no when he called. See, I had to answer the phone. When the phone rang and you wouldn't answer. But now you want to take my blessing and want me to sacrifice it to help you, and you don't even want the source of my help. You don't want my God, you just want my help. God is the source of our victory. So he said in Genesis chapter 33, if you want to find out where you're at, he said, look, I'll let you see my goodness. And he said, my backside, you know, I messed with that a little bit because, you know, your backside got two cheeks back there. There's goodness and then there's mercy. Talk to me up in here. He said, if you really want to know where the Lord at, look behind you. How did you get where you at? It was because the Lord's goodness. How do you got what you got? It's because of the Lord's goodness. How did you not get what you deserve? It's because of the Lord's mercy. I'm not going to forsake God's. I didn't get where I ain't got no plan B. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord because it's been to come a time. God's been to show you. God said, I will not be mocked. What a man sow, that's what he's going to reap. And when the goodness of God, the mercy of God lift up off of you, you're going to see the hell's gate. And God going to say, can you hear me now? See, because I winked at you. And let me give you a little something right here while I'm in Genesis so that I don't drive by this here. Some of us, I told one woman of God, some of us living up under a salt and pepper anointing. Because the scripture says in Genesis chapter 3 that when Adam and Eve was in that garden and Eve ate that apple, judgment didn't come until Adam ate it. Eve had already sinned, but somebody in that house was right with God. Now the moment both of us get into sin, it's going to be all pepper. Because salt is a preservative. You know, you want to know how you've been making it? Staying and keeping it as if you've been that good, it's because of somebody in there preserving us. Somebody in there keeping this grace up on us. And you frustrate the grace of God, and you'll see the pepper. But let's stay right here. That's not why we're here tonight. Look at verse 4. He says, and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee. And I will make thee a multitude of people. And I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting what? But who's kept saying they're going to do? It was God saying, I will. You can't bless yourself. Now you can come up, but you can't bless yourself. Because a true blessing from God, the Bible says, is that which he gives you and add no sorrow. You know, one of the things I thank God I don't have to do no more. I'm not hiding and ducking. You know, when I hear the sirens, I don't run. No. If you ever lived that life, you understand what that is. None of that move me no more. Because he done blessed me and add no sorrow. I got peace in my mind. I got peace in my home. Come on, somebody. My wife can trust me, depend on me, rely upon me. That's, you know, that's a rare commodity now. Some folks will take that and you can keep the money. Just let him come home every day. Come on now. Let her just be faithful, you know. Let me not have to worry, ask all these multiple questions. When did you get all these relatives? Every week you got a new uncle. Everybody ain't your uncle. You think I'm a fool. Now, that was just Uncle Willie. He was passing through. That's the grace of your benefit of the covenant, that you can live in a relationship, in a home, in a marriage, in a finance. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, we already short. I can't afford you stealing what we do have. We already short. I'm trying to watch everything coming in, and it's the thief in here, not the one trying to get in. See, the bars work two ways. They can lock you in or lock you out. Come on now. The bars is up on the houses. That's good for those that can't get in. But what happened when you in there with them? You can't get out. Verse 5. I'm trying to help, dog. See, we're coming into an end of a new year, and we got to consummate, go back. See, this is my message that I was going to teach is see, take, and keep. See, because a lot of times what we don't understand the art of living is how to keep what we got. Have anybody experienced something that God has done? I'm going to tell you a principle in life. Boy, if this is not God Bible, you can go home from here. A principle in life is see, take, and keep. See, everything you go through, you accomplish, or you acquire, it's for the purpose of enhancing, developing, and possessing. So I got to learn how to keep what I got. If we got our breakthrough in our finances and now we're not in debt, I got to learn how to keep us not in debt. Not be in debt in June, and then in August we back in debt. See, that's not see, take, and keep. See, I got to learn how to keep what I got. I got a new car. How did I get that? See, now watch this. I got the car, so the car is not indicative of the reward. The reward is the principle, how did I get it? So now I got to learn how to keep that principle so I can keep the car. And if I want to get another car, the same principle works again. Yeah. It works if you work it. But if I lose the principle, I'm going to lose the car. Uh-huh. Yeah. And not only will I just lose the car, I lose the opportunity to get another car. See, the scripture says, and add to your faith virtue, and to virtue patience. So now watch this. You don't take faith and then go and try to add virtue, and because I can't carry faith and virtue, I put faith down to carry virtue. No, maturity says you got to carry faith and virtue. And if you want to get mature than that, you got to carry faith and virtue and patience. And if you want to get mature, come on, somebody. If you want to get mature than that, you got to carry faith and virtue and patience and love. I'm going to see how mature you are. How much can you carry? How much can you keep adding on? Or do we get to a certain level and that's too heavy for me? Now I don't want to do it no more. It don't take all that. No, what you just showed me is what you can't handle. Because it takes that and more to go from faith to faith. If you want your next level of living, you got to take your next level of carrying. And maturity is not based on how long you've been in church. It's not based on how old you are. It's based on your ability to handle responsibilities. So you can be an old fool. Come on, somebody. Because God says, I'm trying to get you from faith to faith, but I got to add virtue. I got to put more on you because much given, much See, if I don't put it on you before you get it, you're going to lose what you got. See, when you lose it, it's only telling you what you didn't have, not what you do got. I know you got the prize, but you don't have the character. You didn't get the virtue. And now you've been you see, take, and keep. But I didn't come to tell you that, because I was just talking about that when I talked about this. But let's go to verse 5. He says, and now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Now we back down to the last generation, because we went from Joseph, we went to Jacob. Come on, somebody. Now we're in Ephraim and Manasseh. I'm talking to your children now. That's just going to make it real plain, in case you got lost up in all that Ephraim, Joseph, and Manasseh in three generations. It says, and Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of what? Before I came unto thee into, can I mess with this a little bit? Even though you had your baby in Egypt, but they walked into a covenant in the promise, because it was a generational. You know how some folks say, well, you know, we wasn't saved when we had little Willie, and that's why Willie act crazy. No, no, come on, somebody. But Willie is under the same promise that your angel is. Come on. He was just born in Egypt, but he's still a part of the promise. Yeah, yeah, you know, some of us make that little proclamation. Well, you know, we wasn't saved when I had him or her. You know, what difference do that make? You under the warranty. Everybody in your house is covered by the same promise. Because you got in, they got in. Willie, Egypt, and all of them in there now. So ain't no mistakes. God didn't make no mistake when he, come on, y'all. You know how we treat one kid a little different than the other one? Because of who their daddy is and where we was when we had them. We won't mess with that, but you know how we do it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because watch this. The scripture says that God didn't make a mistake when he put Ephraim over Manasseh. He put Isaac over Ishmael. Because Isaac is indicative of the promise. Ishmael is a work of the flesh. Because that's when they told him, go told that boy, go up there and y'all do what y'all do. And they came up with Ishmael. But God already promised them Isaac. Sometimes you know how we get ahead of God and we're going to bless ourselves. We're going to make it happen because you know it ain't happening. So we go and create what's called a Ishmael. But God already said they was going to have a child. And they had Isaac, even though he was old in his age. But God made a promise because they was under a covenant. God made a promise with us. I got you. I don't care if it gets rough, if it gets sideways. I got you. Don't go back to where you came from to get what you think you're supposed to have. I got you. It's a time for you to see how big God is, not how big you are. Because see, what's going to happen, the devil going to trick you. And once he gets you back in the game, back in the old way, back in the old system, then he turns it out on you. Now you just proved to him, but you made it look like God couldn't when God did and he can. God already blessed you and he can still bless you. But he don't want you to go and bless yourself, because that's an Ishmael. That's a work of the flesh. Wait on your Isaac. If he did it once, he'll do it again. Can God make a way in the wilderness? See, God can, or you can say God can God. See, God can as I know he will. Can God as I'm questioning he can. If he did it once, that's why he say, look behind you. So if you ever doubt or get discouraged and don't know, didn't I do that? Well, what make you think I can't do this? Stay with me, stay with me. He said to Ephraim and Manasseh, verse 5, in the second stanza, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee in Egypt, and are mine. He said, they're mine. They were mine. I know you had them when you had them, but they were still mine. Oh, I'm preaching good and y'all shouting. He said, and they were mine, and as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Then he says, and thy issue. thy issue. Anybody in here got an issue? See, God want to let you know I know where you at. Thy issue. Oh, help us in this Bible. No, help us in this Bible. Verse 6, he says, and thy issue, which thou begattest after them, they shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. They gonna all get in and get under the same warranty. Give God some praise right there. Yeah, all your children gonna be blessed. All your children gonna get in on the promise. Yeah, yeah, it ain't just the one. It ain't just the one that's acting good. It ain't just the one that, come on. It's the one that's even doing bad. They under the same warranty. That's a word from God. That's the same warranty. If I can bless one of them, I'll bless the other one. They under the warranty of God. But let me be God. Don't try to make something out of it. Because watch this. You don't know what it's going to take to deal with them. But God do. Because sometimes we just throw our stuff at situations and issues. And it ain't making no impact or no impression. It's not affecting them at all. Verse 7, he says, and as for me, when I came from Paddan, and Rachel died by one in the land of Canaan, and in the way when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephraim. And I buried her there in the way of Ephraim, and said unto Bethlehem. Verse 8, and Israel beheld Joseph's son, and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons whom God have given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will what? Now I want to get down to where I want to really go. Because God asking, who is these? Who is this? What is this? He said, now bring them unto me that I can bless them. See, because the title is when God crosses his hands. Because if you read the story, and I ain't got much time to take you there, but what happened with one of the boys, he came in and he tried to steal a blessing. And because the father was old, he messed around and crossed his hands. Same thing what happened to Jacob. You know how Jacob went in and stole his brothers? Some folk trying to steal something from God when you already got it coming. Now watch this. When God crosses his hands, it's indicative of what he already was planning to do. But on the same side of that, when he slitches his hand, it's indicative of you just switched the blessing. One is invoking the blessing. The other one is switch the blessing because you can't command the blessing. Amen? So when the hand gets switched, so does the promise. You know how you can be doing good one season and next season? It switched. Why? Because you crossed the hands. Can I help you right here? See, the blessing is an impartation from God. You know, Quincy, you bless me, man of God. I don't mean I'm not going public with anything, but I watched God bless you. Man, I'm talking about I watched God bless you. See, God is not a respecter of a person. And he's in the business of showing. I got one brother, I won't even mention his name. I saw God get this man money. I'm just talking about money. Real money. Real money. But see, God blesses us sometimes to prove our integrity, not to bless your pocket. Because, see, God knows when it's going to come time to really trust him, you're going to have to remember him. Yeah. Everybody can't believe from nothing. Yeah. No, come on now. See, when I first started the church, I didn't have no church. Let me help y'all just a little work here when it comes to church planning. It's easy to walk up in a building where the people are already there and begin to pastor the people. Mm-hmm. Come on now. That's easy because they're already there. You just got to be good. You got to put your work in. Yeah. But it's hard to go in there and ain't nobody in there. Uh-huh. The church ain't even there. Yeah. And you got to believe God that he said what he said. So you got to come when ain't nobody there because you know they come in. Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, I saw y'all before I got here. I'm not playing with you. I had to believe what I saw and what God said. And I had to come when it wasn't no church. The building wasn't nobody here. But I was standing on God said. And because of the obedience of trust in God, look what the Lord has done. Come on, somebody, give him a praise. Don't patty cake. Now watch this. And it wasn't to exalt myself. It's to move the faith of the people so the will of God can be accomplished in our lives. You ain't going nowhere except the will of God get accomplished in your life. Having something, gaining something is not the real victory. It's obeying the will. Because, see, you don't even know what your future holds. The most we do out of desperation is just try to come up with what we don't have. But you can't create nothing. See, the will of God creates for your life what God already planned. Watch this, watch this. I'm gonna let you out of here. See, the blessing doesn't die with the Father. It's generational. The same way we can take a positive, you can take a negative. Same way you take a negative, you take a positive. We're living out of what somebody else released up on us. And I heard one man of God say, I'm fulfilling what my father didn't fulfill. Watch this. Because some of our daddies and mamas was called to do some things for God. And because they refused to obey the call, God said, it's still on. The deal is still on. Now I'm after your sons and your daughters. That's why he said, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And they said, come on, somebody. Because I'm saying, if I couldn't get your mama to do it, your baby going to do it. Somebody in here going to fulfill the will of God because it's a promise. Yeah. And if it ain't you, I wait on your children. Yeah. I got eternity. Yeah. Thank you. Boy, y'all better get excited with me. Some of us is under an anointing because of the anointing that did not get accomplished. Now you got opportunity and favor coming your way because of the grace that was already provided. It ain't something you got to go and conjure up. You just got to get in the will and yes to the will, yes to his way. And there's a grace and an anointing that will come on your life that will enable you to do what God promised and declared and already provided for you to do. That's why I say some of us is wrestling with our destiny. That's why it hurts my heart. And it's so sad when you hear the world say, and they out there listening to the people singing and doing all the things, and they used to be in the church. And I say, God help them. Because they couldn't believe that you would bless them, and they went to the world to get blessed. Some of us got gifts and talents, and we're going to let the world prostitute us instead of us saying yes to God. And letting God make you who you're supposed to be. So other people that can come in behind you. Look what how powerful a yes can be. There's some people waiting right now for you to obey God. Because until you obey, there's a group of people can't come into their destiny. It's bigger than you. It's more than you. We just get selfish. It's all about me. What I want. What I can do. What I... And that's why we can't get nothing done. We're scrappling and struggling in. Because I refuse to submit to the will and allow the way of God for my life. But watch this. See, you can't bless my sons unless I'm transformed. Now watch this. Oh, God, help me, help me, help me. You can't bless my sons unless I'm transformed. I couldn't bless my children to walk in what they was walking in until I got transformed from the old man I was. Because their inheritance wasn't in me out there doing what I was doing. Oh, y'all, you better hear me. I'm telling you the God truth. I almost want to cry because I'm so thankful and grateful that I said yes. We was in the project. We caught, this was back in the day. We caught 22 mice in one night. No. Do you understand where I was living? And I was out there hitting them bricks every day. I'm out there with them day and night. Let's roll. What's up? That's the life I had. It wasn't until I got transformed. Oh, God, help me. It wasn't until I got transformed that I came into this new life I knew nothing about. I didn't even know I had it coming. I didn't even know this was in me. I'm out there sliding up. You know, you're licking your lip, your tongue all up on your forehead trying to talk to somebody. And I'm thinking I'm nickel slick and ain't worth a dime. My life was passing me by. Didn't have nothing. Didn't even have nothing to give nobody. But talking all that, you know, what we call good game. But it wasn't worth a dime. But it wasn't until I got transformed. Oh, you better hear me, man. I'm not playing with nobody. I don't care who don't like me. Man, you didn't like me no way. I didn't get here because you like me or you don't like me. Man, I'm fighting for my life. I'm fighting for my children's life. I'm fighting for my church life. I'm not fighting to be liked. What is that? I can go two blocks down and they don't like me. Go two blocks up and they love me. What is that? I can't get caught up in that. I'm in about pleasing him. And until we get to the place where I want to please him, you'll never see what destiny, you don't know what you could have been. As God is so good, he give you a glimpse of glory. He let you taste some goodness. If you stay with me, look how you can live. Look how. Then he put you back on that desert to see where your heart really at. Yeah, you love me more than these, or was you just playing? Or you just thought I was sugar, huh? I'm going to see how bad you really want this. Or was you just funning with me just because I was blessing you? You know how we do it. Somebody do you good, you just, yeah, you all right with me. You know you are. When you going to do that? And you just love them because they keep loving on you. But when they put you on the desert, you start calling them names. Well, you wasn't nothing, no way. You blah, 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 blah. Now, that's what you really think about me. You just wanted me because I was doing you a little something, something. It wasn't that I ain't have it. I still got it stacked up. I just wanted to see where you was at. Yeah, you talking about good game. God got good game. Because I'm going to make you somebody. But before I let you walk in what you got coming, you got to be made. Paul said I was made an able minister. Because you can't walk in the abundance and have success. You can't walk in God's glory and not have character. And not have commitment. You just can't do it. Because you'll sell out. That's why you got so many prominent good people who all they started out good. But see, their character, their success got bigger than their character, and they couldn't handle it. This is the pressure test up here. They say, yeah, it look good, but it's a pressure test. Yeah, let too many people get too many quarters, stay together. You can't find them. So they all messing with the women. All that foolishness, because they couldn't get their character down, because they never let God make them. And the way you made, you must go through the fire. You got to take the pressure test. Let me see what you really made of. Is this just alloy? Or do we got some real gold up in here? Yeah, you know what that stuff they sell you in the store? It's X amount of this and X amount of that. Yeah, you put it under that heat up under it. You ain't got but a little bit of gold. All that other stuff get to burning and popping and cut your skin messing with that. Come on, somebody. I want to find out how much gold you worth. That's why the Bible says, in Ezra, and I'm gone. But this Bible's so good. In Ezra, the scripture says, and when I preach this to you, you're going to remember it. But the book of Ezra, chapter 5, it was talking about how that the man of God, the Pharaoh of that time, had took the people of God. And the Bible says that he took out of the church the gold, the silver, and the brass. But he wasn't talking about the gold, silver, and brass. He was talking about the people that was in the church, that was gold. You got some people that's just faithful to God, love God, doing what God, that's gold. Then you got some silver in there. There's some folk that love God, You know what I'm saying? But they still growing in grace. Then you got some brass in there. They trying to figure out if they love him, but they keep coming. Then you just got some wood. That's it. This is Ezra chapter 5. I don't want to turn there to mess with you. But you just got some folk just wood. Then you got what's called drift wood. Depends on which way the river flowing, that's where they go. Because they ain't made up their mind yet. I'm going to let you go home. I'm going to let you go home. Look at verse 10. It says, now the eyes of Israel were dim and for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him and said, kiss them, embrace them. Look at verse 8. And Israel held Joseph, his sons, and said, who are these? And Joseph said, And Joseph said unto his father, they are thy sons whom God have given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, that I will what? Bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, and so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself to the face to the earth. And Joseph took both Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel, and his left hand in Manasseh, and his left hand towards Israel, right hand, and he brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guarding his hands wittily, for Manasseh was the firstborn. He crossed his hands. I'm trying to get to this here. He crossed his hand. That was indicative of the blessing of the father. But remember, the scripture says he brought them close to him. There's three stages of healing. And I'm going to let you go. You got to go home. He says, bring them near. One of the way you know God loves you, he brings you near. See, he says, no flesh can glory in my presence. So if God lets you come near, that's him showing you his love for you. But not only did he say, bring them near, then he said he kissed them. Oh, this is covenant talk, y'all. He said, look here, not only will I bring them near, because you know when a king do something, king can raise his hand and half of that whole room just got killed. Yeah. You come before me, he dropped the soap, that means you don't go home. Yeah. But he said, bring them here and let me. For the kiss was a term of endearment, meaning I'm in agreement with you. So not only do I let you come near, but I'm also going to kiss you. When I kiss you, that's like a signature, you know, like the ring that they wore. It's a sign of my acceptance of you. When you walk away to kiss from the father, a kiss from the king, man, everybody know you blessed. Because the king, ain't, first of all, ain't finna even put his lip on you. Now, that's the king, Doc. He ain't kissing nothing. But if he told you to come near, and then he even reached down and, but not only did he say he bring them near, not only did he kiss them, but then he embraced them. Do you know what it is for the king to embrace you? Everybody's trying to kill him. Everybody, he even got a cup man to drink for him, the cup bearer. If anybody trying to kill him, you know you got to really be dedicated. Man, I'm going to drink that cup for you. I know they trying to shoot poison at you, but I'll drink every time you tell me. I'm praying Russian roulette with you because that's how much I reverence you. But the king told him, said, come here. You come near. Then, and then it. God said, come here. Let me kiss you. Oh, glory, glory, glory. I know what's going on. I know you're sick. I know your issues, but come closer. But then let me kiss you. Because I'm letting you know you're still in covenant with me. And then I'm going to embrace you. I told you God just want to let you know he still loves you. See, the enemy tried to tell you God don't love you. Things look bad and all that. You equate that with love. I was talking to a lady the other day. She told me, and I told her, you need to get out of here. I did. I told you, you need to get out of here because that was foolishness to me. But she said she didn't. But God will embrace you. Amen. And you got to equate what God does is his affection towards you, his love towards you. Because sometimes we can be so far away from God, it don't feel like what it really means. Because I'm so out of touch. I ain't been embraced in so long. I don't know what that means no more. But God said, I'm still with you. I still hear your cry. I know the sickness. But I'm telling you that you're still under warranty and I got a covenant with you. This is a generational thing. I got to do what I said I'm going to do. But just for your sake, come here. You know how you tell your kids, you see them fall to do, come here, baby. Come here, come here, come here, come here. Give me, let me kiss that. And then give me a hug. What you telling that kid? I got you. I got you. That kid said, he crying, she crying, but she's in her mama's and her daddy's arms. She only crying because she emotional. She ain't hurt no more. You know, it's just emotional. I felt like I was hurt. But the hug did something. You know, it's serious when your mama and daddy hug you. That soothes a whole lot of stuff. Then they kiss you. You know, as old as we are as men, we still love mama's kiss. Come on, somebody. Because that means it ain't nothing perverted, nothing foolish. That just brings me back into the covenant of she got me. That's all I need, someone. Mama, give me a kiss, and I'm going to look at you. I'm good. But when daddy, when daddy do something for you, not only am I good, come on now, but I'm covered. Mom can make me good, but daddy covered me because he let me know I got your back. I got your back. Sometimes, especially as men, that's all we need. But we need our daddy just to say something. You know, I won't even mess with this. You'd be surprised how many men hurting today because they ain't heard their daddy say nothing. I don't care who else say something. It's different when I hear my daddy say it. Because that's the embodiment of my strength. Stabilized. I know mama gonna love me. She gonna love me. I just shot the man. That's mama. Mama just gonna love you. But daddy, that's a different thing now. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise.